The Apostle James said, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The Apostle Paul said, by love serve one another, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He further said, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. With these scriptures as background, I should like to share with you some experiences of some wonderful groups of unheralded workers who have made these teachings live in their lives. May I introduce the first group to you? They are known as health missionaries, doctors and nurses who have responded to the same missionary call as have thousands of proselyting missionaries. Not only receiving not 1 cent of compensation, but paying their own expenses. In each case, they labor under the direction of the mission president. From Guatemala, a lady health missionary reports, the primary children were given a lesson on the basic three food groups. After the flip chart lesson, we played a game with them. They were asked to place foods in the groups where they belonged. Then we gave them a plate and asked them to prepare us a meal, either breakfast, lunch, or dinner, using food from the basic three. This same health lesson has been given to investigator families as well as member families. You'll be interested to know that approximately 50% of the children in these Indian villages die before reaching the age of 5. Malnutrition, complicated by respiratory infection and diarrhea, is the underlying cause. Speaking of midwife lessons, this health missionary says, we will give classes on this subject, delivering babies, in Relief Society so our ladies can benefit from it. Through the working with the Relief Society, we can develop the health program more. The ladies can depend on each other for help. We give them health concepts, then they teach their families, sisters in the church, and their neighbors. We know the health program will work through these organizations as planned. 2, we hope to work with the families through the Family Home Evening Program. From Apia, Western Samoa, comes a report from a medical doctor, another health missionary. At our conference this round, we are again stressing the importance of food and cleanliness. But in addition, we are encouraging each family to maintain a continually growing food supply. We have indicated to them that each family should have a certain quantity of various foods growing, and as these are used, they should be replaced. We are also encouraging them to try growing their own vegetables, and as a demonstration, we plant a small garden plot at each conference with tomatoes, cabbage, and so forth, and leave it for the branch to keep up. Extra plants are given to the members who are interested in growing their own. From the Philippines comes a report on the problem of the recent catastrophic flood and the help the health missionaries provided. On and on it goes, from Peru, Tonga, Guatemala, Uruguay, Paraguay, Colombia, Bolivia, Nicaragua, Honduras, Mexico, Brazil, and in the future from Hong Kong, Korea, Taiwan, and many other countries of the world. Now let us see what is happening in the lives of people because of a second group of workers. Those involved with the social services phase of the work. This is the case of a 17-year-old unwed mother. This young lady came from a good active Mormon family. The lines of communication had broken down between parents and daughter. She was in serious trouble with the pregnancy and was on the verge of compounding the problem in such a way as to further jeopardize any possibility of a happy, successful life, when one of the dedicated staff workers became involved. Through extra effort and wise counseling, he was instrumental in saving her from falling off the precipice. He helped open the channel of communications between mother and daughter, And now, some years later, this same young woman, through repentance and forgiveness and wise counsel, is happily married to a fine husband and is doing her part to help her neighbors. Instead of failure, she is now experiencing joy and peace of mind through living a worthwhile, fulfilling life. Under the direction of social services, men and women in prison are visited by home teachers. They hold a regular home evening, attended by the home teacher's family, the prisoner's family, and the inmate. The example of love shown by the home teachers to home teaching family, along with the evidence of sincere interest, has performed miracles in the lives of many of these men. Home teaching couples are spending hundreds of hours visiting not only in prison, but visiting drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers. They have gone into lonely one-room apartments to help an alcoholic sober up, and have done much more in helping in his rehabilitation. Another important area of the service has to do with foster homes. Over 4,000 families have opened their homes to Indian students. Because these families give freely, this service carries with it that most important ingredient of home, love. Now let us examine what happens in the lives of people when the third group becomes involved. They are largely concerned with the temporal or financial welfare. This is a large group of dedicated men and women. You might say this group is composed of all of the members of the church who participate in any way in the welfare services program. From one of our associates who is deeply involved in helping people, we learn of what happens when the church steps in to help. About 12 years ago, Roger walked in the side door of Welfare Square. It took him at least 15 minutes to tell the supervisors who he was and where he came from. Although he was a grown young man of 18 years, he had great difficulty expressing himself. Part of his young life had been spent in an institution in a neighboring state. Now, at the age of 18, he was on his own. This young man lived for some time alone in the mountains. Finally, he got a ride into Salt Lake City. He could neither read nor write, and his speech was nearly impossible. The brethren at Welfare Square found Roger a place to stay. Soon he had a bishop and gradually became active in the church. Fellow workers at Welfare Square helped him to learn to speak so that he could communicate. He still has great difficulty, but his friends and associates can, with a little patience, converse with him reasonably well. He worked in several different jobs at the storehouse and today is an active elder in the church. Roger now has a job in a large commercial enterprise. And is at the present time totally self-sufficient. Roger met Janie at Welfare Square. Let me tell you about Janie. Janie had been born with cerebral palsy. She was badly crippled, but she had been able to attend school and recently had graduated from high school. This was a tremendous accomplishment, but now, after several months of searching, her family had found it impossible to obtain employment for her. Her bishop asked if there was something Janie could do. She needed to keep busy. In answer to the challenge, the storehouse keeper suggested that Janie be brought to the storehouse the next morning. After Janie had been at work 7 hours, her mother came to take her home. Janie was smiling with pride. She had labeled a dozen cans. There was a pile of spoiled labels on the floor, but they weren't important. The important thing was her smile. It was there because she felt useful and had pride in her accomplishment. She was willing and anxious to return the next day and continue trying. Within a month's time, Janie was doing a good job of labeling cans. She hardly wasted any labels. As her skill in using her hands increased, she was given greater challenges. At the end of 3 years, she was assigned the delicate job of packing eggs after they had been candled. Janie and her family were truly happy because she had learned through the welfare program to be a contributing member of society. Roger and Janie fell in love with each other and were married in the Salt Lake Temple for time and all eternity. Last year, the work opportunities amounting to 1,480,000 hours were made available to the Rogers and the Janies. The wonderful Sisters of the Relief Society donated in excess of 2 million hours in aiding the ill and the aged. They gave compassionate service to 15,000 families at the time of losing a loved one and death. Members of the church contributed almost 2 million hours to welfare projects, bishop storehouses, and so forth. And the church dispersed over $17 million in cash and commodities to take care of those in need. All of this was done through the welfare services program of the church. This was accomplished through the regularly constituted ecclesiastical organization of the church. There is no separate organization to manage welfare. It is an integral part of the church and has been from the beginning. To reemphasize its purpose and objective, I shall read a statement for the First Presidency given in 1936. Our primary purpose was to set up, insofar as it might be possible, a system under which the curse of idleness would be done away with, the evils of the dole abolished, and independence, industry, thrift, and self-respect be once more established amongst our people. The aim of the church is to help the people to help themselves. Work is to be re-enthroned as the principal guiding principle, as the ruling principle in the lives of our church members. These lofty goals still remain as the motivating force of all who are involved in this great work. And now, with the approval of the First Presidency, the temporal or financial, health and social services functions are brought together in the Welfare Services Organization of the Church, concerned with the well-being of the whole man. I bear my humble witness that this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he reigns at the head of this church and speaks through a living prophet, Harold B. Lee. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.